here's the host of the Sports Hub, David Tewksbury.
Welcome on in. It's the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM, 90.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. Live streaming with the video as well on our Facebook page at facebook.com/Fox Sports Aberdeen. Good to be with you on this Monday installment of the show. Coming up towards the bottom of the hour, the head coach of the Howard Tigers, Pat Rummel. He'll be joining us on the phone line. Looking forward to that discussion with him of the victorious Howard Tigers, of course, state champs there indeed. A really nip-and-tuck battle with Woolsey Wessington there on Friday. They were winners 38-30, and we'll take the temperature of that Howard squad and see if he's gone to sleep. I'm sure he probably has. He's not, like, partying since it's 1999, but I'm sure a very, very happy coach, and we'll talk with him coming up towards the bottom of the hour. Plus, we've got a lot to get to today, the jump in just a few. High school notes from the weekend. We'll talk about Championship Friday and Saturday. Some college volleyball over the weekend. Northern State making quick work of Augie on Friday. And then down to the wire against SMSU on Saturday. Northern basketball out west. We'll talk about that and much more. All of that today and more on The Hub on FSA. David Tewksbury along for the ride with Matt McClure. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Doing all right. Doing good, man. Had a good weekend.
Yeah, I think it was a pretty fun weekend for you there on the mic with Northern Volleyball. A couple of really, really good matchups.
Yeah, it really was. That was a lot of fun calling those matchups there. They got the 20 wins on Friday, played a really tight one there on Saturday versus Southwest, which, funny enough, they're playing again in the first round of the NSIC tournament. But, yeah, a great weekend of volleyball, and big shout-out to that squad getting 20 wins. And that was a goal that they had at the beginning of the year, that Brent Aldridge, I guess they had goals at the beginning of the year, and that was one of them. So pretty cool weekend there. Crowd was really awesome on Friday night, I thought. A little bit better than Saturday, but it was great there on Friday night.
Yeah, well, definitely a must-win scenario for sure for the Wolves tomorrow, like you mentioned, against SMSU, because you probably are not going to make it into the regional for an at-large. I wouldn't think. They were 9 last week going into the final regional rankings. And I don't think they're going to get in, regardless of what they did against SMSU. They pushed him to the limit, but beating Augie is good. I just don't think that's enough for the committee to say it's good enough. So I think they got to go on a really, really good run here in the conference tournament to make it.
And that's what Brett Aldridge said, too. He said they've been ranked lower or higher than 9 and been left out.
Correct.
So it's one of those things where you got to go on a little bit of a run. It all starts tomorrow, but yeah, that was how my weekend went. It was pretty good. How about yours there in Rapid?
Yeah, definitely busy for sure in Rapid City. A lot of fun out there as the ladies picked up a couple of victories against Mines on Saturday. And then, of course, on Friday night, they're picking up the victory against Black Hills State and just kind of finding their way a little bit. And I guess it was also nice because we had a little bit of downtime after the game on Friday. So I saw some friends there that were at my wedding, which was great, and hadn't seen them in a couple of years. So nice to hang out with them a little bit, some former Presentation College folks there, and just a nice opportunity for some downtime, but also always great to broadcast a couple of wins there for the ladies too.
Yeah, bounce back after a tough start to the season at home. And, you know, it's amazing what happens when you can kind of stay out of foul trouble a little bit and you can actually play a little bit and get out of your zone. And, you know, you mentioned it during the broadcast on Friday. It just, you know, at the half, it just seemed like they were clicking on all cylinders, which they were not doing the first two games of the season. So for them to be able to click like that, the chemistry, Rio had a big game on Saturday, which was great to see. She struggled a little bit in the first two games, so happy to see that. Bragg with a great performance as well. So overall, really good weekend for Wolves women's basketball to get back to 500.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And with Rio in particular, she was just in attack mode on Saturday. I mean, she was playing downhill. I think that's really when she's at her best. She can play on the perimeter, no problem. But when she is facilitating, she's playing downhill, she's attacking the basket, that's when great things are happening, because there's the drive, and then you can kick off that for Beneke to hit a three or Jewett to hit a three. But when she's playing downhill, that's a really, really hard team to beat. And I thought she was just masterful there on Saturday for sure. And you used a word, and I said the exact same word as well on the air on Saturday. Madeline Bragg was great. She can be the best if she can just consistently make the 1- and 2-footers. She's a great player right now. NSIC Conference Player of the Year for the preseason. She's a great player. If you can knock down the consistent layups, finishing through contact, you're going to be the best player that this conference has running away. And she's great right now, but can you be the absolute best? You got to make those 1- and 2-footers.
Yeah, you got to make the bunnies. That's a great point. You know, if you can finish that with the contact, it just elevate your game to that next level. Because, like you said, great player as is right now. She's got every part of her game offensively. She has a jumper. She can pull out from the 15 to 18 foot range. She's got a post game. She's a great rebounder. She runs the floor well. But can you make those little bunnies that you're wide open, or, you know, you got a little contact there, you got an arm in front of you, can you make those shots? And when she starts making those, like you said, that'll just elevate her to that next level. But still, I mean, a great weekend for her this weekend.
No question about it. Just finishing through contact is a big deal. And I say that as a guy that's on the broadcast, certainly, but not getting out there just being pummeled every single time that she goes down in the post. And they've been very physical with her, for sure, but I think she's answered the bell quite well. So looking forward to seeing her continue to grow and improve throughout the season. She's a great player right now, and she's only going to get better and better and better. I'm David Tewksbury, joined alongside by
Mr. Unlimited.
Let's get to the jump here on FSA, 1420 AM, 98.5 on the FM dial, and Steelers and Ravens going down to the wire there a little bit yesterday. Mr. Unlimited wasn't exactly his best, but that was a pretty entertaining game. And do you want a minute or two just to riff on that or no?
I'm good.
You're good?
I'm good. I'm numb to that. I mean, to lose 8-9 to that team is an absolute disgrace, but I'll leave it at that.
All right, fair enough. Did you watch the fight there on Friday between Paul and Mike Tyson?
Yeah, you know where I watched it? On Antonio Brown's Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
Because my Netflix wasn't able to load. I kept on getting this wheel of death, 25% wheel of death. I gave it a good 5 to 10 minutes. I'm like, you know what? I'm out on this. And I'm kind of out on this. Then you sent me a text, hey, AB, he's got the live stream on his Twitter. I watched a little bit of that on my little phone trying to see on the screen there. But, yeah, it wasn't a great fight at all.
No, it really wasn't. But I tell you what, man, AB, CTESPN, generational run continues.
Shout out AB for that. There was one moment, there were 7.2 million people on that stream.
I know it. And I was one of them. Allegedly. Was that illegal? I don't think so. But I was allegedly there. I don't know. Hard to say. But, yeah.
He was at the event. I think it was.
Yeah, he was there. No, he was absolutely there. And he was just filming the Jumbotron in Jerry World. So what do we do for that? Well, for an encore, we're going to have the Chiefs play the Steelers and the Ravens against the Texans there on Netflix. And this can be like an evergreen segment. Why, oh, why do we have to continue to put everything else rather than on CBS or on Fox or whatever, ABC? Can't we just keep it simple, stupid? I'm a simple guy. You know, Matt, I really am. I'm a simple guy. I just want to turn on my TV on a Sunday or whenever Thanksgiving is or whenever Christmas Day is this year and just watch the game. No, I got to go got to download an app first. Oh, I got to put in my information. Oh, I got to get this. I got to put in my credit card. Can't I just put on the TV and just watch the game? And guess what? The whole country's not going to be able to watch it because the spinning wheel of death is going to be happening for the entire country. What are we doing?
We got to fix it. That's for dang sure. And I'll tell you what, speaking of that, trying to get it on Netflix, I had to text my parents, hey, what's the Netflix password? Yep. They forgot it, so they had to get the code to reset the password. Then I got it, and I think I have an internet problem. Then I go on, check out Breaking Bad for 5 minutes to make sure it isn't my Wi-Fi. Then I go back, and then I'm going on Twitter. If that happens during when my Ravens play the Texans, I'm going to be a little bit upset. That's all I'm going to say. They better fix it. What a disgrace by Netflix, I gotta say. An absolute disgrace. They completely dropped the ball on this.
Unmitigated disaster. And you know what? We may be two guys yelling at the clouds here a little bit, but I guarantee you the rest of the country is thinking the exact same thing. We just have microphones in front of our faces to say it. But yes. It's out of control. It's out of control.
Yeah, it's about as bad as opening day, if you will, for Netflix has live sports. No, Hulu has live
Hulu,
sports.
Right, yeah.
But now Netflix does. You can't have a worse day. I mean, if you weren't on the East Coast and the West Coast, you couldn't watch the fight. Because my dad, and you know, from PA, he didn't have any problems. West Coast, I don't think, had any problems, like L.A. area.
Sure.
And then the rest of the countries can't watch it.
Flyover country. And we're always getting left out. That's fine. But anyways, if you did miss it, you missed nothing. The fight sucked anyways.
It was awful.
So it was a complete waste
of time.
First
round was good for maybe 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And Jake Paul said after the fight, yeah, I took my foot off the gas a little bit when I realized he was tired. Yeah, maybe because you're 31 years older than the guy.
Yeah.
I was hoping that we could get a Rocky VI type deal with Mike Tyson, kind of like Rocky Balboa facing off Mason the Lion Dixon. I was hoping maybe we could get a fight like that, but we didn't get that at all.
Yeah, complete waste. Awful. Complete waste of time, for sure. I stayed up. Why? I have no idea. But I did see somebody post on X, if you wanted to be disappointed at AT&T Stadium, you could have just gone to a Cowboys game, which is absolutely true. But that's neither here nor there. Hey, speaking of a couple of local stories, speaking of us here in flyover country, saw this over the weekend. How about Northwestern on the ground? They rushed for 531 yards collectively as a team, Northwestern. They absolutely dominated there on the gridiron. 113 yards passing if you need it, but 10.06 yards per play in that one as Northwestern was all over their opposition. Briarcliff, 71-7, 531 yards rushing. Northwestern, look out. Wow.
Yeah, that's just dominant on the ground. And I like this. Connor McQuillan, 2 carries, 132 yards.
That's out of control. Just absolutely out of control. So, sounds like the offensive line had a day there. 2 carries, 132 yards, and 2 scores. Pretty good per carry average there, I'd say, for Mr. Connor McQuillan. But not to be outdone, how about Mr. Lee Kirkland? Have you seen this?
I have not.
Have you seen this? Have you heard about this? Lee Kirkland, he is a quarterback for UPike. Lee Kirkland shattered multiple NAIA and college football records in the UPike victory over St. Andrews on Saturday. This is NAIA football. Lee Kirkland, 41 of 47 passing, pretty good completion percentage, 646 yards passing, not 446, not 546, 646, and what's more impressive, 11 touchdown passes.
Oh, wow.
11 touchdown passes for this guy, which apparently ties a college football record across all levels. Lee Kirkland is, get this, 6'6", 265 pounds. He's a grad student quarterback from Bluffton, South Carolina, and the UW Pike squad, they just lumped St. Andrews. Final score, 90-14.
Whoa.
Big time.
6'6", 260 was feeling it there on Saturday.
Unbelievable.
And didn't throw the ball that much. I mean, 47's a lot.
It's not like Jack Strand.
It's not Jack Strand, but 41 of 47, can you play a little defense? Please.
Absolutely unbelievable.
Play some D.
Well, actually, they did. He did throw an interception. Kind of interesting. Six of those passes were incomplete, but actually, technically, one of them was complete, but the other team. But pretty amazing stuff there from Lee Kirkland. And finally, before we get out of here, I tweeted this out yesterday, not to bring up old wounds with the Ravens and Steelers game, but they threw a jump ball to George Pickens in the end zone, Russell Wilson did, and defenders right there jockeying for position kind of knocks the ball away.
That was a great play.
Great defensive play. And I tweeted this out yesterday. I said, it's great that on any given Sunday, whenever there's a 50-50 jump ball to a wide receiver and he doesn't catch it, immediately turns to the referee and looks for a flag. It's just awful. Maybe just catch the ball.
Yeah.
And Pickens is a good wide receiver, but why?
He doesn't a lot.
Why? Every single time. It doesn't matter. It's like 50-50 ball, either he catches it or he doesn't. If he doesn't catch it, he immediately goes to the referee. Why didn't you throw a flag? And it's trickling down to college. It's trickling down to high school, not so much here in South Dakota for high school football, because I watched a lot of the high school football over the weekend, and there were some 50-50 plays, and the players weren't looking to the officials. But every single time, it's an incomplete pass in the NFL. It's just one of these. Where's the flag? It's just like, no, dude, the ball hits you in the hands. Just go out and make the catch.
Yeah, catch the ball. Because they make gloves now that are super sticky nowadays. All these receivers are amazing. Catch the ball, and the defense is always are already at a disadvantage. Being in the secondary, you can't have any contact. You can't grab one of those 50-50 balls. It's usually a penalty on the defense. Anyway, how many times do they call offensive pass interference on those?
Very seldom.
Never. So, yeah, I'm with you on that. I saw your tweet yesterday. I think I actually threw that a like, by the way. But
did you?
I think, I don't know if I did or not, but if I didn't, I will, because I agree with you on that.
Happens every single time, and it's actually ironic because
it's always the great receivers, too, that do it.
Yeah. No, Keegan Mountain gave it a like. Big shout out to Keegan Mountain. And my buddy Paul Junio did as well. He's a guy I used to work with the Racine Raiders. And he said immediately, Pickens, am I right? And I said, yeah, how'd you know? Unbelievable. It's like clockwork every single Sunday. It's just like, dude, make the catch. Just make the catch. You don't have to worry about the officials.
Yeah, and these receivers are so good nowadays that most times you're going to make the catch because these quarterbacks could put the ball, especially on these jump balls. I feel like they're really good at that, these quarterbacks. No, quarterback play isn't great, but those 50-50 balls, like Russell Wilson, he's pretty good at those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just tired of it. Just tired of it, and it's one of those things that just continues to be a problem, at least for me anyway. We're talking some high school football coming up next Friday night and Saturday night under the lights there at the Dakota Dome. A couple of new champions were crowned. We'll talk about that. Plus, head coach Pat Rummel. He'll be joining us towards the bottom of the hour on FSA. Sports Hub continues on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM, 98.5 on the FM dial. Coming up towards the bottom of the hour, head coach Pat Rummel of the victorious 9A champs of Howard. He'll be joining us towards the bottom of the hour, so in about 10 minutes or so from right now. Again, doing it old school as our phone lines are on the fritz, so I'm going to be calling him with my cell phone, and hopefully he doesn't deny me because I've got an 847 area code. I'll shoot him a text beforehand. I think we'll be fine.
Yeah.
But anyways, looking forward to that conversation with
That's
Coach.
That's what I was worried about, too.
Sure.
Funny enough.
Yeah, I might have to shoot
him. Because I got a 484 area code,
yeah, who
too.
Are telemarketers this early in the morning on a Monday? Get a life, people. No, it's just the radio guy from Aberdeen. Anyways, looking forward to that discussion with him coming up towards the bottom of the hour. Speaking of Howard, they were victorious over Woolsey Wessington, 38-30 there on Friday afternoon. Carson Hinker, a perfect 6-for-6, buck 12 passing, 3 scores. Also ran at 37 yards on 7 carries there as well. Luke Kepsel, 4 receptions for 2 touchdowns and 100 yards as well, as Howard has just completed the double dip, if you will. I mean, they won the state championship in basketball there this last year,
yeah,
and then they win the state championship in 9A football. Woolsey Wessington's a great team, and Moshe Richmond and Caleb Richmond, those guys are amazing, but Howard just 8 points better. That's pretty special to win the state B championship in Aberdeen here, about 8 months ago, and then win this whole thing down in Vermilion. So big shout out to Howard.
Yeah, and they were so close last year in the 9AA championship. They've made the championship now in football, basketball, and back to football. And Carson Hinker, a basketball player, Luke Kepsel, a basketball player, and those guys were huge contributors. Woolsey Wessington, they just didn't have an answer for Kepsel on either side of the ball. 100 yards on 4 catches, 2 touchdowns there, plus on defense he was a maniac with the 7 tackles and 1 sack. So they ran the football well. Woolsey Wessington, they were hanging in. And when I was looking at this game, I thought really it was going to be tough for Woolsey Wessington to win. I thought the way Howard's been playing this year, they've really been putting teams away early. You got to give Woolsey Wessington a lot of credit for keeping this game close. I mean, if Howard doesn't get a first down at the end of the game, they get the ball back with the chance to score and tie it. So, I mean, can't say enough about what Woolsey Wessington did, but Howard just a little bit too much for that Wessington squad.
Yeah, 38-30, your final score there. In 11B, it was Sioux Valley, the number one seed, just basically having an absolute beast in their backfield with Donovan Rose, and you know he was going to have a big game, and he did. 25 carries for a buck 51 and 2 scores, but it was the winners. 20-14, your final score there. Carson Kaiser, 20 carries for 86 yards and a score as Winner just found a way. Sioux Valley has just been outstanding this season, but just don't look now, but the Winner Warriors are always coming. And I don't know if you call it an upset, 2-1, in a little bit here and there, I suppose, but just never look past that Winner team.
No, you can. And 11B, I felt like in Winner and Sioux Valley going in, I thought that was going to be about a touchdown game either side. And Winner, they just had a little bit more offensively than what Sioux Valley did. I mean, Sioux Valley only had 221 yards of offense. Donovan Rose had a big game, but outside of that, they didn't do much. And I think that was the biggest key. You got a little bit more contributions from the Winner side, and they hold on and win by 6.
Maybe the game of the entire weekend was in 11AA. I think a lot of people thought this would be a really great game, and indeed it turned out to be just that. You had Pierre taking on Watertown. I was trying to watch this game as much as I possibly could in between hanging out with some friends there a little bit in Rapid City following the game on Friday night. Watertown wins it 14-13 in the 11AA title. It's the Arrows' first state title in 23 years. 14-13, your final score there. Watertown barely squeaks one out. Does that final score sound kind of familiar to you for if you're a Northern State fan? Hey, 14-13, they did it against Bemidji, and it finished the exact same way. Pierre, they go for the win. Bemidji went for the win. Neither team it worked out for them. Northern came up with a stop there, and Pierre, they go for two. Didn't exactly work out. What a football game there at the Dome.
Yeah, it really was. Two great teams. You knew going into this game that it was going to be tight. Watertown coming in. They had a really good playoff run. Pierre, I don't want to say has had a Cinderella run, but they sort of did.
Playoff, because
they started 2-4 and then won 5 in a row to get to the Dome. But I was surprised, I'll be honest, Tukes, that Pierre went for two. Mm. I really am. Just with how the game was going, Watertown didn't do a lot offensively. There was mistakes being made on both sides, whether it was a bad snap, a penalty. I feel like you go to overtime there. I understand maybe the decision to go for two in the win, but they scored the touchdown. Elijah Bucci runs off right tackle on a wildcat. They get it, and they run the same play, but this time they have like four or five dudes out wide.
Right.
I didn't understand that, really. Why were they trying a little gadget play with the receivers and everybody lined up and then, you know, run right and Watertown sniffed it out right away? So, I mean, I'm not going to question Coach Steele. I mean, he won 7 in a row, but I think I would have played for overtime there in that spot.
Well, if we can Monday morning quarterback this thing here a little bit, and I've watched the play over and over and over again. I'm watching it right now on my cell phone. If you are going to go for two, I think you probably go with your money guy, and Terwilliger has been your beast power forward, and how many times has he caught two-point conversions, or how many times has he caught jump balls throughout the season? So if you are going to go down, you probably want to go down swinging with your best player getting the ball, or at least thrown to him. And I think Terwilliger is probably your best guy. Now, I don't know if he was hurt or anything like that, but they put the ball in the hands of the quarterback, who's still very good. I'm not saying that he's a bad quarterback. He had a nice game anyway with Caleb Lounsbury. But I thought you'd probably give your best guy, your best offensive playmaker anyway, with a chance to get the ball on a 50-50 play. But instead, he felt more comfortable and confident on the ground. It didn't work out, and that's the way it happens sometimes.
Yeah, this game came down to the wire. There was a mistake made by, I believe it was Marcus Fossum of Watertown. They were trying to run out the clock, and he ran it outside and went out of bounds and stopped the clock and allowed a punt, and you just knew. You just knew. I'm watching the game. He ran out of bounds. Watertown punted.
Here we go again.
And I was like, there is no way that Pierre doesn't get this thing near the red zone. I knew. I had a feeling they were going to score. Sure enough, they did. Went for two, and those two-point plays are tricky in that spot because it's your defense can kind of regroup sometimes after giving up a touchdown like that. It comes down to this play, and I think there's a little bit more pressure on that offense to come up with the perfect play. You have to execute perfectly in that spot. They just didn't execute great in that spot. They didn't block that play all that well, and there was just like three or four purple jerseys there in the area.
And not only that, it's from the four.
Yeah.
It's not from the two. In the NFL, it's from the two. College, it's from the two. It's from the four. So, you know, I don't have the analytics in front of me, but I don't know. It's kind of far
plus
back.
Plus, Pierre.
And you're in the gun, too, so you're starting back 6 yards back.
And Pierre didn't run the ball. I mean, they got minus 13 yards rushing as a team in this game. I'm with you. I think I would have went with a tight end pass over, you know, a post play or try to get a little play action, go heavy formation and a post to the corner. 50-50 ball, he's 6'6", throw it up to him.
Mm-hmm.
See what happens.
Little rub route, maybe a little slant. Don't throw the slant at the goal line to your fourth string wide receiver, Ricardo Lockett, because then just why would you bring that up? Super Bowl's on the line, you know, from Arizona. I don't know if that makes any sense, but that'll never go away. But anyways, congratulations to both coaches as well, and Coach Steele's done an incredible job with that program. They've won 7 of 8. Okay, maybe we'll say
they were due to lose.
They were at some point in time. You knew it was going to. They were probably going to fall a little bit short. All things going to come to a close at some point in time. And just look out. That team is going to be winning a lot of games next year. They could be a team to be reckoned with in the future. 7 of 8, and they lost by a point. They lost by a point. People didn't even have them in this game. They thought Yankton was going to beat them 2 weeks prior.
Yep.
So congratulations to them and a Cinderella run to be sure. And finally, in 11 single A and triple A, you had Lennox. Their defense did a great job on Sioux Falls Christian. They were 14-6 winners, as that was the 3 over the 1 in 11 single A. And in 11 triple A, it was the 2 over the 1 Sioux Falls Lincoln defeating Brandon
Valley. Did you see the end of that game a little bit? There was about 7 minutes left. And
the Lennox game you're talking
about? Yeah, no, the Brandon Valley Sioux Falls.
I did not. No.
I was watching a little bit of the highlights of that yesterday morning. And Brandon Valley had a 4th and 2 from like the 6. And they went for it. And I think it was a 24-21 game at that point. They went for it, didn't get it. And from my angle, it looked like he got it, but he was marked short. Next thing you know, Sioux Falls Lincoln hits a seam pass on 3rd and 16. They moved the ball. This is fourth quarter. They moved the ball a little bit. They were right around the 40 or 50 yard line. They hit a seam play over the middle to Mikey Roach, but Brandon Valley had opportunities to win this game, and they just weren't able to make that fourth down play, and you gave up a touchdown on 3rd and 16 with a chance to get the ball back. That's a tough loss for them, considering the fact, and I know we don't talk a lot about AAA football, but Brandon Valley destroyed the Sioux Falls Lincoln team this year, 39-13. So that's a tough loss for them.
Yeah, and you saw that Sioux Falls Lincoln team a couple weeks – well, more than a couple weeks ago now, but at the time you were like, eh, this team's got a really good chance to go a long, long ways and go down to the Dome, and lo and behold, they're the state champs now.
Yeah, they got so many weapons, it's unbelievable, and that quarterback, Schaefer, what's scary is he's only a sophomore, and the way he commands the huddle is pretty incredible. Now, I just saw it one time, but watching the game a little bit there on Saturday, I'm like, this kid's special.
Yeah, really, really good finish there for that squad, and job well done. And the football season is officially done here in the state of South Dakota for high school, as basketball is coming up here in just a couple weeks. Coming up next on the show, we'll put to bed the 9A side of things. Head coach Pat Rummel, he'll be joining us on the phone line after this. Sports Up continues on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. Once again, our phone lines are on the fritz, so we're doing this thing old school once again, and Coach Rummel did not block the 847 area code, which is good. It's not a telemarketer, just the radio guy in the Hub City as he joins us on the phone line. And Coach, first and foremost, thanks for doing this, and second off, congratulations. You're a state champ there in 9A, and congratulations. How does it feel?
Well, thank you, and I have no problem doing any of these. These are great. Feels great. I think our guys, you want to win that game so much for them because they put so much into it, and I'm just glad it worked out. But really, super game to watch probably for you guys, but the coaching, it was a tough battle, and it's probably how a state championship game should be.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Coach. And Matt McClurrier, thanks a lot for taking some time to join us here. And you know, you guys didn't face a lot of adversity all year, right? I mean, you played that game versus Warner, it was pretty close. This game was pretty close as well, so it just goes to show that your guys were ready for any situation that were thrown at you.
Yeah, I mean, that Warner game was a battle. You know, obviously people that saw the final score didn't quite get the whole thing of that. You know, with 6-7 minutes to go, it's still 13-all. Mm-hmm. So you know, we very easily could have lost that game. I think our guys all year long have had that kind of inner strength, I guess you want to call it, that they just got together and said, we're not losing this game, and they made some plays. And then the wheels kind of fell off at the end for with Warner, with us, grabbing a few interceptions and taking them and so forth. But, you know, this game in the Dome, we knew that that Woolsey Westington guys were so offensively good, and with the Richmond brothers, how great they are, we just knew that possession by possession we had to continue scoring and opening it up to, you know, our goal was to get it up to 18-20-ish and keep it up there, just because we knew they had comeback ability. But because of missed extra points and two-point conversions, which we're usually pretty good on, we could not ever get it over 16. And that was a difficult, that was difficult for us, because we really want, our goal was to try to get it up over that, so 3 scores. But I thought our guys did a great job of getting together and answering every time that we needed something.
Yeah, anytime my wife and I are watching a game and it's a 16-point game, she's like, nah, this game's over. It's like, no, because everyone's going for two all the time, so it's a two-score game still. So to your point, that's kind of what you're looking for. I got to ask, as head coach Pat Rummel joins us here on FSA, how do you manage emotion in a game like this? It's the state championship game. It's the last game for a lot of for the seniors, certainly. And for a head coach, you probably have to kind of tamp it down a little bit with emotion to kind of just play the regular game. It's still, the field is the exact same dimensions. You're still playing 48 minutes. How do you manage emotions in a game like this?
Well, I can tell you, you know, there's not a lot of benefits to being old, but being around for 30 years, I guess that does help you in situations like that, because, you know, there's a lot of that. And I think our kids, they play off how your coaches act and react. And I think if you stay, you know, our coaching staff stays pretty much low-key the whole way and don't get too up, too down. And I think that shows with our players, because if you're a maniac on the sideline, your kids are going to act like that too, and they're going to feel stressed and so forth. And so we've taken a different approach for quite a few years, where we just we keep everything the same. And so, you know, when our guys score, they're not hopping around, jumping around. They're just back to business. And that's, I think this is, we've instilled it in them that there's way more game left to go. And, you know, we don't showboat too much at all. And I did see a lot of joy with our guys at the end of the game, but during the game, it was pretty much all business. But that's, some people might say they're a little robotic, but I think they just know what to do. And I think that keeping them low key, but yeah, there were times in that game, we had a few calls by the officials that were rotten. And I was, I went out and talked to them, but I had to kind of stop myself a little bit, because the simple fact is you can't get your kids worked up like that, because they don't play well.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Speaking of all business, Coach Luke Kepsel with a dominant performance, 100 yards receiving, 2 touchdowns, but did a lot well on the defensive side of things with 7 tackles and a sack. He's kind of been the leader, one of the leaders on your team. You know, can you talk about his performance, not just in that game, but the whole season?
Yeah, Luke had a day, and he's the type of kid that won't say anything about himself, but man, is he a machine. He's a great kid, and he's an unbelievable athlete. But the biggest thing about him is he's the calmest guy I've ever seen under situational stuff. With that fake punt. And again, I was figuring maybe you guys would bring that up. What were you thinking about my own 30 when we faked a punt? But we run that. I'm waiting for it. But
I was going to say, it's early in this conversation, Coach, now.
We run that all the time. And actually on Thursday, we haven't had to do it in a game yet. And on Thursday, we ran it, and I told him, it always looks so good. And I'm like, Luke, I really want to run that. And he goes, me too. And that's all he ever said. And so then when we got in that situation, I asked Coach Party, my special teams coach, I said, how's it look? And he goes, phenomenal. And so we called it. They didn't flinch. And again, it was a 21-yard gain. I just felt like possession-wise, we had to steal a couple. Not that our defense couldn't hold them, but I just needed to stay above the number. And I with that fake punt, we got an interception, and then we got an onside kick. And between those three, it was enough to, defensively, those guys were all pretty good. But their offense was so good that we knew that they could score. And our defense has been great all year. It's just matchup problems. When it comes down to the game situations like that, Luke Kepsel had a day, and I didn't get to see that catch that he had on that 2-point conversion to put us up 16 in the fourth quarter, but it was phenomenal. Behind him, down a little bit, down near the ground, and he just one-handed it. So I don't know if he's been doing it all his life.
Well, players make plays. You know, big-time players make big-time plays and big-time moments. And I was going to ask about the fake punt, and you kind of gave us a little bit of an insight onto it anyway. And I just get a sense that belief is such a big deal with any program, any sport. If you've got a head coach and if you've got a coordinator, fill in the blank here, and they truly believe, hey, this is going to work. It could be the worst situation. It could be like 3rd and 17, but we're going to run it. You know, if we really execute our butts off on this play, it's going to work. And, you know, if you have that belief, that's a pretty powerful thing, isn't it?
Oh, it is, and I tell you, we ran so many different things this year. We could have run, and that's why I was surprised when we on our 2-point conversion when we faked it. It usually is automatic, but what happened is they tackled my wing man, and so that's one. We have two guys that go out of the pass, and they tackled my wing with no call, obviously, and so that makes a difference when you only got one receiver out on that route. So. With that, my special teams coordinator, I don't know if you know much about special team coordinators, but they are
a little zany.
And they're adamant about what they do. But there's a lot that had to go into that decision in the 30-second period or 20 seconds. I had to check with my D coaches and say, you guys good with this? And then obviously I had to check with him. We were good with how they aligned the last time. And I got all of that in about a 15-second span, and then we had to get the play in. But, you know, those guys, they make you look good. I mean, I could have been the biggest idiot in the world if that didn't happen, right? But if we didn't make it. But that's the life you got to live with. But we said we weren't going down there. Last year, we went down there, and we played it a little close to the vest. And I just said, I don't want to do that again. And I didn't want to put it on our defense. And so we were just aggressive all day. My quarterback had a day. I mean, Hinker was 6 of 6 for 100 some yards, but every one of them on the money. I think that's a big difference. He was calm and changing plays. And so there was a lot more than Luke that had a day, but Luke did have a day.
No doubt.
So it kind of sounds like you coached a little bit differently from that matchup last year versus Parkston in the 9AA state championship. Do you feel like you were, a little bit more aggressive in this time around?
Yeah, and again, Parkston dictated what you could and couldn't run because their defense was so good last year, like ours was. I mean, it was a straight rock fight for three and a half quarters. I mean, it was actually the whole game. So there was things that we couldn't run down there last year that I could run this year just based on how the defense was and the personnel. I mean, Parkston was solid at every position. Their D-backs was so much pass first and they let their up front guys just take care of the run. So it was hard to throw on them and run on them. And so it's just a different group of kids, and nothing against Woolsey Weston's defense, but Parkston's defense last year was phenomenal. So yeah, we had to coach it different. We made some blocking assignment mistakes by my juniors last year who are now seniors this year. You could tell they didn't make the same mistakes twice. So I just, going into this game, I wanted to let our guys showcase how good they are. And I said, I'm going to throw the ball as much, you know, obviously we run it. And we ran it for probably 280 and threw it for 100 and some. And they were pretty tough to beat when you could complete every pass. But I guess, like I said, couldn't be happier with how these guys played, but how they executed in big moments was just unbelievable.
Yeah, really great game for sure. And speaking of Parkston, I felt like I was watching the Chargers against the Broncos there with that Hamlin matchup. Those jerseys were kind of throwing me for a loop, but that's neither here nor there. But, Coach, congratulations on an incredible season. And now it's basketball season. I know the guys are going to want to go back-to-back with what they did in the springtime or late winter last or this year, technically, with the state championship over DeSmet. So I know it's going to be basketball mode for those guys, but enjoy it here. And thanks for doing this.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you guys so much for having me. Appreciate it.
You got it. Our pleasure for sure. Head coach Pat Rummel here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 and 98.5. And that'd be a pretty cool run. Go state championship basketball, state championship football, and then you go back-to-back with basketball after football after winning it all. I'm not going to say it's certainly possible with this team.
Hey, Luke Kepsel's going to be playing basketball
Correct.
This year. So, and you know, it's kind of just interesting hearing about him a little bit. The poise that he has, doesn't sound like he's very a vocal guy. He's more of a lead by example guy. And congratulations to that program, considering that last year in the football realm, obviously disappointed with how that one went versus Parkston. I like what he said there at the end. We wanted to put on a show. They wanted to display, hey, the big lights are here. You got SDB or PP doing the game. Like, we want to show why we've been the best team in 9A all season. And I think offensively they did that. They had a couple tricks up their sleeve with a fake punt. He said an onside kick as well. And we talk a lot about that third aspect of the game. If you can win that, and it can just jolt the entire team on a play. I mean, to do that from your own 30 takes guts.
Yeah.
There's no other way to look at it.
Takes guts and something else.
Yeah.
You know, it's just an incredible play. And I'll never forget this, and I'm going to bring this up here real quick. But I was watching this post-game, or actually I think it was a postseason interview, and the Panthers were playing the Cowboys in 2003 in the playoffs, and the Panthers just dominated the game. But they ran a play on, it was like 3rd and 17, and Jake Delhomme gets the play call. It's a callback of a name, Jake Delhomme. Jake Delhomme gets the play call from his offensive coordinator, and it's like a run to Steven Davis on 3rd and 17, whatever it is. And he goes, this play's not going to work. It's 3rd and 17. But the offensive play caller, offensive coordinator says, trust me, this play is going to work. 29-yard touchdown run.
Wow.
So sometimes you say, okay, that play call here, I don't understand. But the belief to have it accomplished. There's a reason why they're running that certain play. Doesn't always work out. Did for them, and now they're state champs, so big shout-out to that program. 38-30 winners over Woolsey Wessington. Talk some Northern State notes coming up next. We're wrapping up this Monday installment of the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Our thanks to head coach Pat Rummel for joining us on FSA, talking some Northern State notes. From the volleyball side of things, let's talk about that first. The Wolves making quick work of Augustana there on Friday night. 18-15-22, Natalia Shabinska with 13 terminations, as the Wolves would up their record to 20 victories. And not only that, but this final stretch run for them, these final four games or final four matches, we'd say, boy, that's a pretty tough sled, pretty tough road ahead. And they went 2-0 on the road last weekend with that big win in Wayne, winning in five sets there. Can you continue to bring that momentum back here to the Hub City? They sure did, but they just fell a little bit short against SMSU there on Saturday, losing in five sets. The Wolves got down big in that fifth and decisive set, but came all the way, almost all the way back. They were down, I think, what, 7-0?
6-0.
6-0, and they came back. It was 11-9 at one point. I was like, here we go. They just need two more points. Just couldn't quite get it
done. No, they couldn't, and it was funny. They struggled a little bit there to start that set, and they got it to 11-9, like you mentioned, and then it seemed like when Southwest would call a timeout, it would almost regroup them a little bit.
Yeah.
It happened in different stages of the match, and they were able to close them up. And I don't think Northern scored another point in that fifth set. It was 15-9. But, yeah, they actually had a comeback in the fourth set, too, because they were down 4-0 in the fourth and then scored the next eight and really took care of that one after that. They got a couple huge service aces in there from Reese Johnson and Kara Sear.
Yeah.
Was a great off the bench, or I guess coming
sideline.
Yeah, sideline. I mean, talk about a spark plug. She came in that third set, a couple kills, an ace. She was like a spark plug out there. She was awesome.
Yeah, she's been kind of a little-known player, if you want to call her that. I mean, she played a good amount last year. Not a whole lot this year, but, you know, you have to be ready when you're called upon to make a play. And Coach Aldridge said, all right, we're going to go ahead and switch it up here a little bit. She played. She made a big impact. And unfortunately, just a couple points shy, but they'll take on that very same squad on Tuesday, tomorrow at 6 o'clock. Should be a great matchup there. Both of those matchups against Southwest have gone five. The Wolves got reverse swept in that first one there in Marshall. They led two sets to nothing. Then they came back. The Mustangs did. They won the next three. And same thing here. The Wolves lose in five. So maybe tomorrow will be the third time to be the proverbial charm. We'll have to wait and see. But should be a really great matchup there. Looking forward to that. Northern State basketball from the weekend. On the guys' side of things, they would fall to Northwest Naz 68-66. Quat Adel Kareem had 16 points and 6 boards. James Glenn, 15 points and 8 helpers there. Toby Obiora, 13 points and 7 rebounds. The Wolves were just oh so close, but just not able to get over that hump. They're back in action tomorrow. They'll take on Dakota State. That'll be at 7 o'clock right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. As for the Northern State women, they would go perfect 2-0 out west there, downing Black Hills State 72-60. Wolves got off to a slow start in that first quarter, got down 8-0 early. Head coach Paula Kruger taking a timeout to kind of regroup, and then the Wolves would rattle off a really good first quarter there. They led, I think, believe it was 21-14. No, that was the Mines game actually. But they got down 8-0.
I think they led by 8 at the end of the quarter.
I think they trailed by 2 or something like that.
They got up 8 at some point.
Yeah. They had a really good finish to that first half, certainly, and win that ball game, kind of running away, 72-60. Madeline Bragg with 20 points and 5 boards. Michaela Jewett had 11 points and 9 rebounds. Izzy Moore, a career-high 13 points, and did it with some tummy trouble as well. Right after breakfast, she was like, yeah, I'm not feeling so great. We're all kind of conversing there in the hotel lobby, and I go, well, I got some Tums. You want some Tums? And she goes, actually? I said, yeah. Take a couple Tums.
There you go.
And she starts playing well. Halftime rolls around. She comes back over to me in the HKG Architecture Broadcasting booth, says, do you have any more Tums? Yes, I do.
Wow.
So she has a career high performance. She should get sick every day if that means good success for her. So that's the key to her success.
And how about the broadcaster coming through there?
I mean, don't just tell me I just broadcast games. You know, I'm a difference maker. I am a difference maker. You want to know why this team's going places this year? It's all because of me.
Yeah,
that's a joke, by the way, if you can't understand sarcasm. But no, it did help a little bit. That's like a half of a percent.
That's
right?
Awesome. That's a great story.
Yeah, there you go. The more you know. These are the things that you never hear about. And finally, the Northern women would pick up a victory there on Saturday against Mainz. They led 21-14 after that first quarter. Rio was just in attack mode, like we mentioned earlier. 23 points and 6 boards. Bragg with 18 and 6. Beneke with a baker's dozen as the Wolves cooked out west there in Rapid City. They're 2-2. They open up conference play on Thursday against UMary. Can you believe that? Conference play already?
No, I can't. That's crazy. Big matchup, too, right? UMary had a good year last year.
They did, and they beat the Wolves in Aberdeen. That was that game that went down to the wire, and there was that late phantom technical foul that was called.
Yeah.
And wasn't too happy about that, but should be a great matchup. No Lexi Schneider, though, this year for UMary. She did graduate, so we'll see what that program looks like, but they got some good outside shooters there. So looking forward to that matchup there as well. And 3 teams are in Super Region 4 in the NSIC. USF, even 8-3, they are left out. No playoffs for them.
Wow, that's surprising. But I think Bemidji snuck their way in there, right?
They sure did. USF beat Mankato. Mankato's in. USF is out. The more you know.